Hello again there, folks. So I thought I'd take a bit of a deep dive into the Extinction Rebellion thing. Probably going to be a bit more chilled out than what I usually am on The Guardian because it's Tolly Poynbee. And thanks to Extinction Rebellion, we're experiencing a climate culture change. So Extinction Rebellion are out on the streets again with their stupid costumes on, look like arseholes. And everybody in the country is saying, like, this is the most obvious example of controlled opposition I've ever seen, which of course means the Guardian are going to call them edgy radicals tackling the status quo and the system. I mean, it's all just so bloody predictable at this point, and it's all been said before, and I've even said it before on this channel. But it does take us to some funny territory, which we'll get into in this one. Rather than just sort of shitting all over Polly. So let's get the basics out of the way. After their successful capture of central London in April, local cells or affinity groups all over the country have trained and planned for this protest, deciding who would be arrestable for highway obstruction and who wouldn't be because of jobs or young families. They were primed to expect a tougher police response after right-wing press complaints against the friendly policing watch in April when officers were caught dancing at a blocked Oxford Circus. So hang on a minute. I mean, so that they're blocking off the streets in London and making people's lives miserable. The police are supposed to go along and move them on, or at least keep them in their place, and they end up dancing with them. I mean, is it not a fair criticism that you expect your police officers to maintain law and order and not dance with, as you would have it, edgy radicals on the streets? Because either they're edgy radicals tackling the system, or they're just an astroturf bunch of morons who's the police dance along with. Make your mind up, Polly. I do wonder if protest makes a difference. An officer manager in her 40s from Hertfordshire said to me, "But what else can you do? My children really made me feel I must." A steward in a pink Gillette, a mother from South London, said the same. "It was my children who got me into this. Thousands more are expected to join." So the children in the schools, and because of Greta, the children all think it's the end of the world. There was a case where one boy actually committed suicide because he literally thought it was going to be the end of the world. I mean, imagine asteroids hitting the world, or the world just burning up and everybody dying, a complete chaos. Like watching that film Threads, and this is what they're actually feeding the kids with. And this then, so the kids go home, the kids are panicked, the kids are traumatized because they think it's the end of the world. And then all these middle class parents are going out on the streets and lying down in protest. It's fucking bonkers, man. London is just one of 60 global cities engaged in uprising at the same time. To those who say, "Why bother when the UK is too small for our carbon emissions to matter?" This synchronized global action reaches all those leaders who attended last month's UN Climate Change Summit, where the UN General Secretary warned we face a direct existential threat. So hang on a minute. The top brass of the United Nations already agrees. Why do we need the theatre in London if the United Nations has already decided how this is going to play out? That they're already on board? Well, who are you protesting against then? You've already won, haven't you? I think few of these protesters read the white right-wing press to know what they're up against. In a double-page spread in the Mail on Sunday, Douglas Murray, editor and author of Neoconservatism, Why We Need It, launched a blistering attack on climate protesters and soft policing tactics. Interesting choice by Polly there of Douglas Murray's books, because she's picked out the one on his neoconservatism, and he is well in league with the neocons. But he's also got a book called The Strange Death of Europe, and even another one now. I'm not the biggest fan of Douglas Murray, but Polly's deliberately singled out the book on neoconservatism and not a more recent one called A Strange Death of Europe. Because, you see, it's all well and good if you're going to have existential threats facing the West if they are approved by the United Nations, by the elites. And that's where we're going to go here. Douglas Murray's book, The Strange Death of Europe, was also about an existential threat as he saw it to Europe, but in that particular case it was to do with multiculturalism, mass immigration. But Polly doesn't even want to go there. She would think that was absolutely disgusting. You can't go, you can't even have those discussions. She's got back into the neoconservatism. She's dragged that one out. Even though her own positions are closer to neoconservatism than the kind of things Douglas Murray's been saying more recently. Though he's still, I'm still not his biggest fan, to be honest. I think he's a doommonger. Hypocrites, progressives are prone to self-flagellation, but being climate pure is impossible. So this is the problem that they have, of course, because everybody will just say, everybody will point out that they go on holidays and they're driving around, they've got these big Jeep cars, the middle class life leaves a big carbon footprint. But she's going to carry on and say that David Attenborough is to be believed, not the Mail on Sunday, and even delivery drivers angry at the road deny the gravity of the cause. Weekly, the news tells of sea ice and glaciers melting, species vanishing, the emergency evident, poll says fine people, everybody gets it, we all get it, okay? And what she's expecting you to do here is to try, and people like Douglas Murray probably do it. They will kind of say none of it's happening, it's all a conspiracy theory. Think of the free markets, think of the damage to the economy that all of this leads to. And I think they're missing the point. My take on this would be to say, okay, let's break apart the modern world, let's scrap all the multinationals, let's ban the banks, and let's return to being this sort of small agrarian societies, you see. And she moves on. Murray accuses Extinction Rebellion of wanting to engineer the complete destruction of the global economic system. So again, like, will somebody, please God, somebody think of the capitalism, think of the banks, think of the multinationals. And this is what you're seeing here is two slices of the kosher sandwich, or as people also call it, the Hegelian dialectic playing out, and they bounce off each other. Why not instead say, well, all right, you have a point. The modern world and technology and global capital is disastrous for the planet. Let's tear it all down and go back to ethnically homogenous rural communities. We'll do that. But we're not going to do that at all. And what Extinction Rebellion are doing are looking up towards the already existing power structure and then demanding that they do more. You see, this is the protest group is demanding of the elites that they have more power and more control to save the planet, and that's why they're controlled opposition. The UK may be entering a climate culture change that Page, somebody else you mentioned, compares to the shift in our lifetimes from locking gay people up to a recent poll that found 66% would have no concerns about same-sex marriage in the royal family. And this is where Polly drops the bomb. Flying, driving, eating beef may go the way of smoking, but only if the heavy lifting is done by the state. But hang on a minute, so it's going to be made socially taboo to fly, drive, or eat beef. I mean, this is... But Polly, here's the problem. Polly doesn't even believe in the nation state. She's like one of the most pro-EU of all of the Guardian writers. And she'd probably be up for merging the European Union into a world state. We've already seen above the United Nations is in on this. They agree with it. Yeah, we need more power. We need more power to control everything to save the planet. That's why we need it. But let's just stick with the EU for the time being then, because Polly doesn't want the nation state to do it. She wants the EU to do it. So then we're going to be living in this situation where the European Union are going to make it taboo. Not illegal yet, but that'll come. But for the beginning, what Polly's going on about here is flying, driving, and eating beef. So it'll be stigmatized to eat beef, and they'll like layer it with taxes. So you won't get a Big Mac anymore. You won't go to the bar and have a steak and chips anymore. You may have to sit outside in the rain and eat it or something like that. Well, of course, this plays into what we've been seeing, where humans will eat maggot sausages as a meat alternative. So they're already preparing the substitutes for this. They're already looking for other ways to literally eat bugs. It's not just a meme, it's true. And what this won't affect Polly, because Polly is living in, she's got a villa in Tuscany. It will affect me. So Polly's future and the future of the dominant cast is to sit in their Tuscan villas and probably get specially imported beef, and my future will be to live in Mega City 1 in a pod and eat maggots, a maggot burger or maggot sausages. And the Extinction Rebellion, this is what Extinction Rebellion are actually demanding happens. And here's where it gets really interesting, because Polly's grandfather, you may recognise the name Toynbee, and her granddad, Arnold J. Toynbee, wrote a very well-respected book called A Study of History, which was something of a reply to Oswald Spengler. And in it, he put, first, the dominant minority attempts to hold by force. This is when the civilization is beginning to fall apart. This is after its glory days. First, the dominant minority attempts to hold by force, against all right and reason, a position of inherited privilege which it has ceased to merit. And then the proletariat repays injustice with resentment, fear with hate, and violence with violence when it executes its acts of secession. Yet the whole movement ends in a positive act of creation, and this on the part of all actors in the tragedy of disintegration. Here it comes. The dominant minority creates a universal state, the internal proletariat a universal church, and the external proletariat a bevy of barbarian war bands. Now, so let's just get back to where we were. We've got the elites who want to create a universal state. This is actually happening in the real world, and according to Polly Toynbee's granddad in a well-respected book. And then the internal proletariat. So in this case, the internal proletariat would be, let's say, the people who read Douglas Murray's book on Europe, or like me. Most of the people watching this video will be the internal proletariat. You are the downtrodden group which is already there. And then the external proletariat is mass immigration, and Toynbee actually particularly singled out Muslims. And these are the barbarian war bands who are now at the gates of the civilization, and there has to be a synthesis of all three of these. I don't believe that the internal proletariat are going to create a universal church. I believe that's coming down from on high as well. But all of it amounts to abolishing identity. All of it amounts to creating a borderless world, but let's just keep with Europe and the West here, which also brings in an external proletariat to reinforce the disintegration of identities, of racial groups, of ethnic groups, of religious groups, and then the dominant minority will have its a full control over this bloc, which itself will die out in the end. And so Extinction Rebellion are literally out on the streets as like media publishes articles encouraging us to eat maggot sausages. Extinction Rebellion are out on the streets saying that the dominant minority, whoever they may be, have to take more action. They have to have more power and more control to save the planet, to save the civilization. And the internal proletariat are not going to make a universal church. I disagree with Toynbee on that. The universal church is social justice, political correctness, consumerism and materialism. This is what they're giving us to aspire towards, and the external proletariat will come in and take advantage of that or just smash the place to pieces. And this is what Polly Toynbee, I mean, has she not read her granddad's book? Does she not see that she is in the role of the dominant minority actually doing this? Because I'll tell you what, it seems to me that the reason so much of this stuff is preempted and thought out, that they always seem to be ahead of the game, it's as if they're reading her granddad's book and using it as a guide. So, something to think about. My take on this, the response I would give is to say, hey, you know what it is? If the world is being dying because of all of technology, then why don't we abolish it all? Why don't we just tear it all down and go back to semi-agrarian societies, still with the internet and some border patrols, but by and large, just leaving people alone. Just tear it all to bits. So something to think about there. And I'll catch you later, folks.